This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
A senior U.S. official says Washington will not provide Iran with sanctions relief until an agreement is reached on returning to the 2015 nuclear deal. Israeli forces scuffle with Palestinians in East Jerusalem Al-Quds a day after regime forces attack. Worshippers left over 100 injured. And a poll shows most Americans believe that a country should do more to hold police accountable for the mistreatment of black people. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story, a U.S. Senior official says Washington will not give Iran any sanctions relief until an agreement is reached between world powers and Tehran on returning to the 2015 nuclear deal or the JCPOA.
Until we get somewhere, and until we have a firm commitment, and it's very clear that Iran's nuclear program is going to be capped, the problematic aspects reversed and back in a box, we're not going to take any of the pressure off.
Brett McGurk made the remarks in a virtual meeting with the Jewish American leaders. Senior officials stressed there is a very long way to go and that the process is complicated. He said that President Joe Biden's administration is not going to pay anything up front just to get a process going. This comes ahead of a third round of JCPOA revival talks in Vienna on Monday. Iran says if the U.S. is interested in the deal, then it must abandon its unlawful violations and verifiably remove all sanctions imposed, reimposed, and relabeled since January 20th, 2017. Joining us out of Washington, D.C. is Wilmer Leone, columnist and political scientist from On the Story. Hello, Dr. Leone. Your thoughts on the rhetoric we're hearing with respect to the JCPOA coming out of this current administration?
Well, I think to a great degree right now that it is that. It is rhetoric. I think we have to understand that McGirt, or at least the administration, was speaking to the Israelis. We know that the Israelis are doing everything humanly possible to derail this process. And so I don't know how much credibility and faith I can give to these comments, particularly when I believe the United States is still scheduled to return to the table on Monday.
And that's the thing. You mentioned, given the circumstances of where this rhetoric basically took place, Brett McGurk's comments there, but at the same time, what we're seeing in action is kind of different. I mean, in words, the time and again, we've heard this administration say they're very committed to reviving the nuclear deal, but in action and in rhetoric, we're seeing something else. What are we supposed to believe?
On this one, your guess is as good as mine, because the president is being very, very, very poorly advised. Continuing down this line does nothing to bolster anyone's perceptions of the United States and the trustworthiness of the United States. When an American president leaves this country and goes abroad and engages in negotiation and engages in diplomacy, it's no longer that individual. It's supposed to be on behalf of the country. And what we've seen with President Obama entering into the JCPOA, then Trump reneging, and now Biden playing this game, it makes absolutely no sense. I wish I had a better answer. Unfortunately, I know what Biden should do, but based upon the poor manner in which he's being advised, I don't know what they will do.
But given the political atmosphere that you do see there in Washington, D.C., around Joe Biden and his administration right now, what do you sense may take place in the days and weeks to come?
Well, they're dragging this out, and they're also very much, not only are they playing to the Israeli contingent, but there is, of course, a very conservative American contingent. There are a lot of Democrats that don't want President Biden to get back into this deal, and that is utterly foolish. I think the majority of Americans want the United States to get back into the deal, especially when we understand exactly what is at stake. So why they continue to play this foolish game and waste this time is, it boggles my mind. It makes absolutely no sense.
Thank you for joining us, and do stay safe, sir. Out of Washington, D.C., that was Dr. Wilmer Leone there joining us. Meanwhile, the Israeli police have attacked Palestinian protesters protesting against restrictions on gatherings during the holy month of Ramadan in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Israeli soldiers fired water cannons as well as live ammunition to disperse protesters in the Old City. Palestinians threw stones at regime forces and smashed security cameras. 8 demonstrators were injured in the violence. Protests came after Israeli forces tried to prevent them from holding their usual Ramadan evening gatherings outside the Old City's Damascus Gate by erecting metal barriers. Similar clashes also took place around military checkpoints in several areas in the occupied West Bank. Tensions have been running high in Al-Quds since start of Ramadan. On Thursday alone, over 100 Palestinian protesters were injured in clashes with Israeli police. Meanwhile, Israeli forces have launched fresh attacks against targets of the besieged Gaza Strip. Israeli regime tanks targeted security posts belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas near a refugee camp of Al-Burij. There have been no media reports on possible casualties. Israeli military claims attack was in response to rockets fired from the Gaza Strip. And joining us now from Gaza City is our own Ashraf Shannon for an update on the story. Hello, Ashraf. Hope you're well and doing safe. Tell us what's going on.
An Israeli tanks attacked a security post that belongs to Hamas's military wing, the Yazidin Qassam Brigade, in the east of the central Gaza Strip refugee camp of Abu Bridge. That security post was completely destroyed, but no casualties were reported, as security forces in the Gaza Strip have evacuated their post along the security fence in the east of the enclave following rocket fire from the Gaza Strip into the Israeli regime. Around 4 rockets were fired from the strip at the so-called Iron Dome missile interception system. Managed to only intercept one of the rockets. The other 3 fell in an open area in the Negev Desert. This is according to the Israeli military. Earlier in the day, prior to the firing of the rockets, the Joint Chamber of Palestinian resistance factions have issued a strong warning to the Israeli regime against the ongoing attacks in the occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, against Palestinians there, and they said they will not sit idle. Meanwhile, spontaneous protests were held in the Gaza Strip after midnight, and some of them are still active right now, as angry Palestinians in the enclave are expressing solidarity with Palestinians in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, among the increasing attacks by settlers and the Israeli regime forces. The situation is still tense in the Gaza Strip, as Israeli helicopters and fighter jets can be heard throughout the skies of the Gaza Strip. But so far, the Israeli Air Force did not carry airstrikes, just the tank attack in the east of the enclave. It is possible that more Israeli attacks will take place in the coming hours.
And reports are saying that these settlers are attacking people that are joining for gatherings for iftar during the holy month of Ramadan, and they're yelling, they're attacking them, hitting them, throwing things at them. They're in the Al-Quds area and also yelling death to Arabs.
Yes, and this is what happened. They've been calling death to Arabs, death to Palestinians, death to Muslims. This is part of the mentality of the Israeli regime and this Israeli settlers over the decades. They want to eradicate the Palestinians and completely have Jewish-only entity. But the Palestinians will not sit idle. If Israel continues with these actions, if Israeli forces and settlers continue to these escalations, I believe, and many experts believe, that Palestinian factions will retaliate, and this situation could escalate further.
Thank you, Ashraf, for joining us with that update. Do stay safe, bud, out there. Meanwhile, results of a recent survey show a majority of Americans want more accountability amid growing incidents of police brutality against the black community. According to a poll conducted by the Washington Post and ABC News, 60% of Americans believe that more needs to be done to hold police accountable for mistreatment of African Americans. The survey also revealed 45% of those surveyed have confidence police are properly trained to avoid excessive use of force, down from 54% back in 2014. Poll coincided with the trial of Derek Chauvin, white police officer convicted of killing African-American George Floyd. Man's death in May of last year sparked a wave of protests against racial profiling and police brutality in the U.S. Activist and commentator Life Malcolm says the problem of racism in the U.S. is not going to go away anytime soon, as it has roots in the country's history.
There are a lot of white people who are dedicated to holding on to the colonial system that keeps their lives of luxury and lives of comfort in place. I mean, everybody, almost, I mean, there are not too many people in the United States of America who could have participated in that poll and did not see the awful lynching of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin. We know that long before Derek Chauvin was ever born, police in this country have killed African people at alarming rates, and we ain't need no smartphone to tell us that. We've always known it, and so we see that poll is a reminder of white people's commitment to holding on to the colony.
With the conviction in the George Floyd case, accountability for murderous cops in America appears to have taken a long-awaited step forward. However, police brutality does remain still prevalent and could spark a second consecutive summer of protests. Rami Mazahiri has more from Chicago.
Much of America breathed a sigh of relief when the cop who killed George Floyd was convicted of murder. A not guilty verdict was widely expected to have set off deadly rebellions on the scale of 1968 when Martin Luther King was assassinated, or 1992 when cops were acquitted in the Rodney King beating case. But across the country, there's a feeling that the calm won't last, because cops in America kill an average of 3 people per day. With police now often forced to wear body cameras and cell phones serving as citizen cameras, there seems to be a constant stream of shocking cop killings on the nightly news. North Carolina, Oklahoma, here in Chicago, and in too many other places to count, have all seen major protests against police violence in the past weeks. Storefronts are being boarded up, and many wonder if they will stay that way all summer.
I mean, if someone knocked out on election night and they woke up today and you told them everything that was happening, if they didn't really pay that much attention to politics, aside from like the media telling them that Trump is bad, they would say, oh, Trump's still in power. I feel like the cops throughout the country, even in Chicago, have become even more emboldened than last year.
The George Floyd protests in 2020 were highly politicized by the Democratic Party, but many wonder if the party will encourage the same confrontational stances in 2021. President Joe Biden reportedly discussed deploying the National Guard to all 50 states ahead of the Floyd verdict, while some Republican-led states are introducing often shocking anti-protest legislation.
The protest that we saw in 2020 was more of a prelude than anything, because now that all these facts are out there, now that, like, you know, there's a huge light shining on police violence and how this is connected to the state, and how the state continually arms the police no matter what they do. Even if they've just murdered a 13-year-old kid, what is the state going to propose? More money to go to cops to train them, and that training goes to nothing.
The United States has become so divided that the threat of socioeconomic violence now occurs on a regular basis. Underpinning it all appears to be the widespread perception of a lack of justice caused by a fundamental corruption which appears almost impossible to remedy. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Pakistan's parliament has deferred a debate on whether to expel the French ambassador over blasphemous cartoons of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Friday's parliament session descended into chaos after members disagreed on how to proceed. Speaker adjourned the session indefinitely. Earlier this week, the government had reached a resolution with a party called Tariq Labayak Pakistan, the TLP, following bloody anti-French protests. TLP waged an anti-France campaign months back, calling for the expulsion of the French envoy. That's amid growing anger over the French government's defense to sacrilegious cartoons of the Prophet, republished by a satirical magazine. A French policewoman has been killed in a knife attack in the town of Rambouillet near the capital, Paris. 48-year-old officer was stabbed in the neck. Attacker has been identified as a 36-year-old Tunisian national who was gunned down by police. French prosecutors have opened an anti-terror probe into this incident. Police have arrested three people in connection with the attack. After the incident, President Emmanuel Macron said in a tweet that France will never give in to, quote, Islamist terrorism. Macron has in recent months stepped up rhetoric against Muslims. Back in January, he enraged followers of Islam worldwide, describing the Abrahamic faith as a religion in crisis. Thousands of people have taken to the streets of the French capital to voice anger at a government reform on the social security system. Workers and trade unions have blamed the government for taking advantage of the coronavirus crisis to impose anti-popular measures. Our correspondent Chris Denhon reports.
Despite the lockdown and curfew, thousands took the streets in Paris to protest against the reform of the social security system. The main reform concerns unemployed people who will receive less unemployment benefits. They will suffer an average loss of 20%, and some will even lose 45% of their unemployment compensation, meaning 300 euros less by month. Many will not be able to pay their rent. The demonstrators blame the French government for taking advantage of the COVID crisis to accelerate anti-popular measures.
Those who will be sanctioned by this reform are those who already suffer the most from the decrease in the work volume due to the COVID crisis. All the vulnerable workers who already lost their job and who are not financially supported by the government will become unemployed and will be affected by this reform. Yes, the government takes advantage of the crisis and pushes for unjust reforms.
Cultural workers made the demonstration very lively. They are paying a heavy price due to the outbreak of the COVID-19.
Today, people who work in the cultural sector often return to their parents and have no income anymore. Since more than 1 year, we don't work, we don't earn money, and the government does not propose any solution to us. Culture is part of the freedom of expression. Only the big shows financed by the state will survive, and the others will disappear.
Billions are given to big companies, 500 billion euros. At the same time, these companies fire workers. How is it possible that this government is making the shareholders richer instead of helping the population?
Indeed, the French stock exchange market has reached a very high level with more than 6,000 points. The 40 biggest French companies are doing very well since the COVID crisis, but the majority of the population does not benefit from this. More than 100 symbolic cultural places like the Odeon Theater are occupied since weeks, with protesters vowing to continue demonstrations until their demands are met.
The COVID crisis will inevitably lead to loss of jobs for many workers. Also, if unemployment benefits are affected, these workers will be punished twice. Chris Denhont, Paris.
Thank you for joining us, and goodbye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزهای لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب
path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful, Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, which was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We continue from where we left you last week, and here is Ayah 18 of Surah Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
فهل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة فقد جاء أشراطها فأنى لهم إذا جاءتهم ذكراهم.
Do they await anything except that the hour should overtake them suddenly? Certainly, its portents have come. Of what avail will be their admonition to them when it overtakes them? If you might recall, in our explanation of the preceding ayahs of this surah last Friday, we presented to you glimpses of the rewards reserved for the believers in paradise and the miserable fate of the disbelievers in hell. We also said, those receptive to the words of God acquire sincerity of heart, peace of mind, and positive behavior at home and in society, while the heedless ones, including those who do not contemplate when listening to the recitation of the Noble Quran, do not gain anything. Thus, the heavenly scriptures, with emphasis on monotheism, morally upright way of life, and the certainty of the day of resurrection for the final judgment, are the true guides for humanity rather than any man-made schools of thought. The ayah that we recited to you now refers to the disbelievers and the heedless ones who, because of their lack of belief in the day of resurrection and judgment, waste their time and thus lose opportunities for repentance and reform, oblivious of the fact that the end could suddenly come before they could realize. The Arabic word sa'a in this ayah means the hour, and is usually used in the sense of resurrection, but it may also indicate divine wrath and annihilation of the disbelievers in this world as a prelude to the torments of resurrection for the deniers of truth. The next part of this ayah speaks of portents or signs of the coming of the fateful hour, when many could be caught unprepared. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, is reported to have said, should I inform you of the portents of resurrection? They are negligence in establishing the daily ritual prayers, following vain desires, cherishing the wealthy and exchanging religion for worldly possessions. As for those who say they won't believe in the day of judgment until they see it coming, these doubters could be likened to a patient who illogically questions the diagnosis of a physician and refuses to take the prescribed medicines by saying, I cannot believe my condition could lead to death until I see the approach of death. Such an irrational person ought to realize that when death strikes, no medicine will be of any use. From this I will learn that, number one, disbelievers and deniers of the day of judgment waste the opportunities of respite that God has granted for repentance and self-reform because of their self-deception and intransigence. Number two, there are ample proofs and signs all around us in the world of nature of the certainty of the day of resurrection, but only the seekers of truth realize these facts without any negligence or wasting of opportunities. Now let us listen to ayah 19 of this surah.
فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مُتَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ.
Know that there is no God except Allah, and plead to Allah for forgiveness of your sin and for the faithful men and faithful women. And Allah knows how you move about and your abode. This ayah commands the steadfastness on the right path, since there is no God except Allah, the one and only Creator, whose protection we owe to seek and to whom we turn in earnest for forgiveness, without the least fear of the enemies. It stresses that whenever the believing men and believing women err or commit a fault, they should seek forgiveness from the All-Merciful. Even the prophets, who, by nature, are infallible and thus sinless, used to seek the forgiveness from the Lord Most High as a sign of their humbleness. It was the habit of the Prophet of Islam to beseech Allah for mercy and the forgiveness of the faults, sins, and shortcomings of the believers. According to a statement from the Prophet, among the best forms of devotion are recitation of the phrases, Astaghfirullah means, I beseech Allah for forgiveness, and La ilaha illallah, which means, there is no God but Allah. Towards this end, the ayah means to say that nothing is hidden from the Almighty Creator, who is fully aware of all our movements and what we do in our abodes. This ayah teaches us the following points. Number one, the basis of all overworlds and deeds is monotheism or the oneness of the Almighty Creator. Rather than relying on fluctuating powers of fellow human or fearing them. Number two, the faithful men and women are included in the Prophet's supplications to the Lord Most High for forgiveness, as well as their health and purity of spirit. And number three, the Prophets and the Imams, though infallible by nature, are in need of divine favors. Now let us listen to Ayah 20 of Surah Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
ويقول الذين آمنوا لولا نزلت سورة فإذا أنزلت سورة محكمة وذكر فيها القتال رأيت الذين في قلوبهم مرض ينظرون إليك نظر المغشي عليه من الموت فأولى لهم.
Those who believe say, if only a surah were sent down for jihad, but when a definitive surah is sent down and fighting is mentioned in it, you see those in whose hearts is a sickness looking upon you with the look of someone fainting at death. So woe to them. This ayah refers to the tough conditions the Muslims face during the first few years of the advent of Islam, and means to say that because of persecutions by the Arab pagans, they would ask the Prophet whether a divine commandment for jihad had been revealed. But when a surah categorically and decisively commanded armed encounter to repel the aggressions of the disbelievers, some of these people, at the prospect of a battle, would become horrified and almost collapse out of fear. The true believers, however, would stand steadfast on the battlefield and fearlessly long for martyrdom, while the hypocrites who paid only lip service to Islam would be scared to death and run away. Thus, felicity lies in obedience to Almighty Allah, whose commandments ought to be carried out without the least fear. This ayah teaches us that, number one, there are many who make loud claims but retreat at the time of action. Number two, as the religion of mercy, Islam commands tough measures against the oppressors, including the armed fighting to repel their attacks. And number three, fear of defense against the enemies or fleeing the battlefield are signs of hypocrisy and lack of firm faith.
Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
How
much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio with me Brother Yasser Ibrahim. And again, my felicitations to you all in this being the holy month of Ramadan. One of the most important acts, or rather acts of worship, that has been extremely recommended for us to do a lot in this blessed month of Ramadan is to do dua, is to do munajat, is to take our pleas into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has opened wide in this blessed month. When it comes to supplications, we have two types of supplications. We have those supplications that we ourselves decide, you know, and we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we pray to Him. In any language, it makes no difference. English, Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, Chinese, Mandarin, you know, Java. It makes no difference what language you use. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hero of all. And we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our needs and our requests. And we hopefully, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. And to grant us what we require. This is one type of supplication. There is another type of supplication which according to the ulama is a lot better. And these are those supplications which have come to us from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. These are known as ma'athur. Those du'as and supplications which have been taught to us by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and who knows how to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Therefore we see in this month, this blessed month of Ramadan, we have du'as such as Abu Hamza al-Thumali, we have du'as such as Dua Iftitah, we have du'as such as Jush al-Kabir. These are all beautiful du'as that come from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and taught to us. And we should make use of them, especially in this month. And hopefully, inshallah, in our next segment, we'll be introduced into a book that may be helpful in this regard.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how?
Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. In our previous segment, we were talking about the importance of supplication, dua, munajat, in this blessed month of Ramadan. There is a book that has been compiled and published by Tayyiba Publishers and Distributors. It is a collection of du'as and supplications that a person can do in the holy month of Ramadan together with the English translation. The name of the book, as the publishers have put it, is Supplications for the Month of Ramadan. And as I mentioned, it contains both the Arabic and English translation of the supplications that are recited in this holy month. For example, dua such as Dua Iftitah that we recite every night after the Isha prayers. Or, for example, the du'as that we recite every day after, for example, Salatul Dhuha normally we are recited. There are 30 du'as from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very short but very profound du'as that are recited every day. There are also other du'as that should be recited every night. Besides du'a iftida, there are other ones. And then obviously, the specific acts of worship for the nights of Qadr, the 19th, 21st, and 23rd. For example, du'a Jush and Kabir, and other du'as that I mentioned that are, you know, specific to the nights of Qadr are also brought, again, Arabic with the English translation. And what is good about this book is that the book begins with the sermon of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he mentioned at the last Friday of the holy month of Sha'ban before entering into the holy month of Ramadan. Again, this is there with the English translation. And at the end of the book, it also contains certain ziyara or visitation recitations and chapters of the Holy Quran that, you know, aim to further assist the seeker of the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wayfarer towards Him in this blessed month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us use this month, inshallah, via these supplications and these tenets and these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam, inshallah. Inshallah, in our next segment, we will read a small snippet from the sermon of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he, you know, as a reminder to all of us, that he recited and he told the people on the last Friday of the holy month of Sha'ban. Insha'Allah, we hope to see you then.
We turn to you day and night, seeking ways from wrong to right. We turn to you in prayer and bow, not knowing all the deeds we do. We turn to you endless favors, increasing in their flavors. We turn to you in sheer delight, for truth never strong to fight.
Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters, to our program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio. We have been discussing the book, or rather we have introduced the book, Supplications for the Holy Month of Ramadan. So in this book, at the beginning they mention the sermon of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, rather at the end of the holy month of Sha'ban. And the Holy Prophet begins like this: O people, indeed, ahead of you is the blessed month of Allah, a month of blessing, mercy, and forgiveness. A month with which Allah is the best of months, its days the best of days, its nights the best of nights, and its hours the best of hours. It is the month which invites you to be the guests of Allah. And this is a fascinating thing, that this holy month, that we become the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ability to become the guest is via the host himself, something to ponder upon, and invites you to be one of those near to him. Each breath you take glorifies him. Basically, as the tradition says, it's like a tasbih. Your sleep is worship. Your deeds are accepted and your supplications are answered. So ask Allah, your Lord, to give you a sound body and an enlightened heart so that you may be able to fast and recite His book. For only he is unhappy who is devoid of Allah's forgiveness during this great month. Remember the hunger and thirst of the Day of Judgment. With your hunger and thirst, give alms to the needy and poor. Honor your old. Show kindness to the young. Maintain relations with your blood relations. Guard your tongues, close your eyes to that which is not permissible for your sight. Close your ears, that which is forbidden to be heard. Show compassion to the orphans of people, so compassion may be shown to your orphans. Repent to Allah for your sins and raise your hands in dua and supplication during these times, for they are the best of times, and Allah looks towards His creatures with kindness, replying to them during the hours and granting their needs if He is asked. Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Yasser Ibrahim.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/EN. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. The month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. On the 10th day of Ramadan, the loyal and unmatched wife of the Prophet of Islam, Lady Khadija, passed away. During the pre-Islam era, she used to be called Tahireh, meaning spotlessly pure,
as she was very chaste and pious. She was known as the master of the women of Quraysh tribe. She was also famous as a very wise and foresighted lady among the Arab people. Lady Khadija was very rich, hence she was also called as Malikatul Arab, or the Queen of Arabs. Some of the researchers maintain that she had got married before marriage with Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. But others, like Ja'far Murtaza Ameli, are of the opinion that the Prophet of Islam was the first and only husband of Lady Khadija, peace upon her. This great lady was a refuge for the needy and the destitute even before Islam. Lady Khadija generously put her entire wealth at the service of the Prophet and the cause of Islam. The Prophet described her, saying, "Khadija believed in me when others denied me, and accepted me when others rejected me, and rushed to help me with her wealth when others deprived me, and God granted me children through her that he didn't grant me through any of other wives." Lady Khadija was very kind toward the Prophet. When the Prophet entered the house, she would welcome him and sympathize with him. She would dust his face and tell him soothing words to alleviate the hardships that he had sustained from the polytheist. Ibn Ishaq, the first writer of the history of Islam, writes, "The Prophet would not hear any denial or saddening word from the disbelievers unless Lady Khadija would alleviate it. She would accept him and consider the insults of people as unimportant." All of us know that lying is one of the worst sins and is the source of many other sins. This sin deprives us from the divine mercy in this world and the hereafter. Lying also causes people not to trust us. According to the Islamic narrations, lying is the key to other sins. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Telling truth is invitation to doing righteous deeds, and doing righteous deeds is invitation to paradise." The 11th successor of the Prophet, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him, also says, "All evils have been put in a room, and the key to that room is lie." One of the things that nullify fasting is to attribute lie to God, the Prophet, and the infallible Imams. It includes verbal attribution or written one. In view of this, a fasting person cannot narrate a statement from the Prophets and the Imams unless he or she is sure of the narration to be correct. This will nullify his or her fasting. The Prophet of Islam and the Imams of Is Ahl al-Bayt have highly recommended us to be optimistic at the time of praying. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "Pray to God in a way that you are certain about its fulfillment." Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, also says, "When you pray, at that moment, think that your need has been met and is ready."
Now let us continue reciting another part of Dua Abu Hamza Somali. As we said in the previous episode, this supplication was taught to Abu Hamza by the fourth infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Sajjad, peace upon him. My Lord, had anyone known my sin except you, I would have not committed it, and had I feared hasty punishment, I would have refrained from it. Not because you are the meanest of seers, but because you are the best coverer and highest ruler and noblest of the noble. Where is your beautiful covering? Where is your great pardoning? Where is your near release? Where is your quick response to refugees? Where is your vast mercy? Where are your gracious bounties? Where are your sweet blessings? Where are your ample affairs? Where is your great grace? Where is your corpulent bounty? Where is your old goodness? Where is your nobility, O noble? By your nobility, save me, O giver of bounties. I'm not the one to rely on my deeds to be saved from your punishment. Thy rely on your grace upon us, because you are the giver of bounties and pardon sins nobly. So we do not know what to thank, whether the beauty that you have spread or the ugliness that you have covered. O friend of anyone who befriends you, an apple of eyes of anyone who takes refuge with you and cuts other bonds for your sake. My Lord, is it possible to see you doing against our optimistic wishes in you or frustrate our hopes in you? Never, O noble, my Lord. We disobeyed you while we hope that you will cover our sin. We called you while we hope that you will answer us and fulfill our hope. O guardian, indeed we know that we do not deserve it with our deeds, but we know that you will not expel us from your door, although we are not entitled to your mercy. But you are such that you forgive us, O forgiver. By your light we were guided, and by your grace we were became needless. And with your bounty we spend our day and night. Our sins are before you. O God, we seek forgiveness for them and return to you.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.